certainly now I understand again how alcohol works in the body and how it influences things like blood sugar levels and heart rate and influences your dopamine levels and your cortisol levels, then you can start to think about, well, there might be a better way to achieve some of the goals or aims or outcomes that I was after with alcohol, but through a different mechanism, one that's you know, intrinsically nourishing rather than one that's borrowing from the future, in effect. You're kind of, with alcohol, borrowing your good mood from tomorrow and having it all now in an intense hit. But yeah, you pay it back with interest. It's not a sustainable solution to life's woes, as many of us have found out over the years. Whereas if you approach it with herbs and nutrition, then you're rebalancing body physiology and chemistry, and actually you feel better the next day.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Flow Ninja podcast.
Welcome to Jody Dean's Flow Ninja podcast, bringing you comedy, consciousness, creativity, natural health and well-being.
Hi. Me, Jody Dean. If you don't know me, I'm a body, mind, spirit coach and mentor. I also call it spiritual coaching. I'm a speaker, an actor, a digital marketer and content creator, and I make videos. I'm a YouTuber, and I'm an author, as well as making podcasts. So in this episode, I talk to Dickon Walker, founder of Blissful Spirits, and he's an amazing all-round dude, and has a fascinating story to tell and life journey, and you know, is the creator of this fabulous drink called Bliss. So we talk about all sorts of different things, and just the ingredients and the flavors within Bliss are a whole worthy of a whole episode in themselves. So yeah, it really is a drink for the 2020 and beyond world, and very excited to be, you know, talking about it and bringing it out there. Also, just a shout out for Patreon. It's a way that you can support this podcast and help me continue to have these conversations with great people and minds, and just go to patreon.com/flowninja to support. So without further ado, here is Dickon Walker. So with me is Dickon Walker, who is founder of Blissful Spirits and has a long and fascinating history in the corporate as well as the alternative health world. Welcome to the podcast, Dickon.
Thank you, JD. Thank you for having me. So yeah, looking forward to this conversation.
So yeah, just obviously I've experienced Bliss, the drink that you've created, and I love it, and really would love to kind of dive deeply into what Bliss is all about and your philosophy and what's inside it and everything else.
Okay, brilliant. So I'll just set the sort of tone for this interview a little bit and the reason why we're having the conversation. So yeah, after many years of being fascinated with alternative health, in particular how nutrition influences mood and emotion, I finally brought together all of my experience to create something which I feel is both extremely useful for anybody who wants to elevate their mood, and also that can be a real game changer in the realm of social drinking. My goal here is to revolutionize social drinking. That sort of stems from many years of, shall we say, enjoying alcohol to excess, and coming out the other side of that journey and really wanting to shortcut other people's journeys in those realms.
Wow. Yeah. want to honour that you want, you're doing that. And I feel the drink is very much a wonderful example of what your intention is. And yes, so wow, tell us more about that journey.
Yeah, thank you. I guess I'm not unusual. My story isn't unusual. Certainly in England, I started drinking 16, 17 and took to it like a duck to water, as it were. And it seemed to me to be the answer to all of my adolescent teenage woes. I could be confident, I could be outgoing, I could be funny, and be all the things that I felt too suppressed, I suppose, to be in my normal waking state. And also, I don't know how much to go into sort of the chemistry or the neurochemistry of alcoholism, but some people simply process alcohol much more quickly than others. It's depends on enzymes in the liver. And so they get a much higher high and they get a much lower low. And what you get is a blood sugar spike that when you come back down, the craving to have another drink to get it back up again is extremely strong. So you kind of get onto the hamster wheel and it's very hard to get off. So alcoholism is you could say that it's inherited or comes with your DNA. It's certainly part of your sort of physicality or chemistry. So for many years, I was what I now term as a functioning alcoholic, could hold down a job, could hold down relationships, could be generally a really nice guy, even when drinking, but at the expense of terrible hangovers and letting other aspects of life, shall we say, sort of take a back seat to that desire and need to go out and get my hit. Either a couple of nights on the weekend of hitting it hard or a couple of nights during the week as well, with generally a couple of nights where I'd enforce a little bit of a dry out because you can only kick that can so far down the road. So it was all about self-medicating, really. And prior to that, then I'd been a sugar addict, as most people are, actually, again. Nothing unusual in that. My pocket money went on sweets. And in retrospect, and certainly now I understand a lot more about alcohol, that sugar-alcohol overlap is really clear. So I've heard of alcohol being described as liquid sugar, and it's not far off. They do have slightly different properties and slightly different behaviour in the body, but they're very, very related. So you kind of seek from one into the other, from childhood into adulthood. But it's all about... Certainly now I understand again how alcohol works in the body and how it influences things like blood sugar levels and heart rate and influences your dopamine levels and your cortisol levels. Then you can start to think about, well, there might be a better way to achieve some of the goals or aims or outcomes that I was after with alcohol, but through a different mechanism, one that's intrinsically nourishing rather than one that's borrowing from the future, in effect. You're kind of, with alcohol, borrowing your good mood from tomorrow and having it all now in an intense hit. But you pay it back with interest. It's not a sustainable solution to life's woes, as many of us have found out over the years. Whereas if you approach it with herbs and nutrition, then you're rebalancing body physiology and chemistry and actually you feel better the next day. And so over time, you're on an uplift trajectory, not on a downhill slide. So that's part of my kind of inspiration and excitement about turning my journey, which obviously had its downsides, into a really positive outcome in my own life and for other people as well.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that can relate to that journey. I mean, I've certainly been through phases in my life where, there's been a lot of consumption, alcohol, and it's ubiquitous, really, in British culture. I've seen it around the world as well. So it's I think it's fabulous that you're offering an alternative that works. You know.
Thank you.
It's great. It's fabulous. I just had a drink, what, about an hour ago? Nice glass of it. Mm-hmm. I feel really nice, centered, happy, relaxed. And yeah, like I know I've had it, you know, many times before, and I know there's no comeback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is bliss we're talking about, not alcohol.
Just yeah, just so that's clear. Yeah, I just had a nice glass of wine.
Yeah. Now tell me about this bliss then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, before we sort of move on, because I'd love to obviously tell you all about how bliss works and what's in it and why it's great. I also want to sort of frame alcohol as well, because I've talked about some of the downsides of it. And something that was really important, actually, at the inception of this whole project was making peace, I think, with that part of my own life and really appreciating it for what it was. And that involved, for me, asking a question around, well, what does alcohol do that's actually really good? And I thought about it, and I was like, well, okay, I had a lot of hangovers, and probably my career would have gone better, and I'd have definitely done a lot better in university without it. Mm. But I had a lot of laughs and a lot of good times, and there was a lot that came through for me from that journey as well. So I did ask the question, okay, what's good about alcohol? Like, what is it actually doing for us? Because there's always a payoff, right? We don't do anything without there being some payoff. Now, that for me was kind of a pivotal moment and a bit of a game changer, because it allowed me to, shall we say, re-engineer alcohol in a way I probably wouldn't have been able to do before. So the kind of the key aspects that came through most strongly for me was, well, confidence was a massive one. I was very underconfident for much of my life. Mm. And alcohol would resolve that. It would allow me to come out of my shell, in effect. So I wanted to bring that quality through. The other quality that it performs a real function in society is it breaks down barriers. People become more able to connect in a way that they can't when they're not drunk, particularly in such a reserved society as we have in the UK. You know, it's an archetype, it's a classic, but I fucking love you, mate. It's like, there's a beauty that comes through in that, even if, you know, there's a hangover coming tomorrow. Mm. And then it also answers our need for excitement. Like, how many people have gone out for, you know, just gone out for a one or two, okay, they get carried away, but wind up on the other side of London or whatever city they're living in, having a raucous night, doing something completely unexpected, meeting people they would never have met, having conversations they would never have had. It's like it opens doors to novelty, for new things to come through. Really powerful in that respect. So I was fascinated when I kind of played with these answers in my mind and realised, well, those are really valid needs. They're really important things for us to have accessible. And then it became a lot easier to say, great, now I know what I want to bring through in a drink. If it's going to be an acceptable replacement to an alcoholic drink, it's got to tick those same boxes. It's got to be familiar. So if I can cover off those three key needs, then we're going somewhere. Then this drink's really going somewhere. It's really going to appeal. And people are going to come back for more. Obviously, from a commercial point of view, it's got to be more-ish. And that started me on a journey of discovery with herbs that I really enjoyed and brought through a solution, brought through a drink which exceeded my expectations. I was like, wow, I didn't know I was going to be able to do that. This is just awesome. I'm so grateful that the information that I needed came to me to sort of fulfill that quest that I'd embarked on.
Mm. And could you tell us a little bit about what's in Bliss?
Okay, definitely. So there are a wide range of ingredients. There's a lot in there, about 40 different botanicals and a number of amino acid supplements and some vitamins and minerals besides. The vitamins and minerals and amino acids, they support the physiology, the body chemistry to produce the neurochemicals that we need to feel the emotional states that we've been talking about. And the herbs in there all play their part in bringing through that emotional state. Now, we can look at it through sort of different lenses, take different perspectives on what's going on. You can read a herbalist's encyclopedia Bible and start to put together a list of ingredients that are going to bring through different emotional spaces. And so that was one approach that I took. And for me, it was very important to have a drink that was balanced. So, for instance, like by way of comparison, you can drink, you can get excitement from a can of Red Bull, but it's quite ungrounding. It's certainly not balanced. Obviously, it's very sugar heavy and very caffeine heavy. So sugar has its downfalls, similar to alcohol. And caffeine is a very spiky experience. It's it relies on squeezing more adrenaline into the system. And so it's very unbalancing and doesn't give you the sort of platform foundation to have a sort of social experience that is kind of sustainable. I mean, I won't get onto my Red Bull habit. I had one of those for many years as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was another inspiration for starting this business, actually. Ah. Yeah, huge inspiration. But back to the subject of the ingredients that are in there. I really wanted to create something that was balanced in its effect. So primarily, most of us have a high degree of anxiety. It's endemic. It's just totally normal for everyone to be stressed out of their minds most of the time. It's very unusual to meet someone who's calm and relaxed.
Yeah, but especially in cities.
Especially in cities. Yeah. But to enjoy social interaction, to feel calm, to feel confident, you need a degree of calm as a starting point. So there are herbs in there that are known as anxiolytics that reduce levels of anxiety. They reduce cortisol in the bloodstream. And so there's a number of the ingredients that do that. You know, that's just kind of step one. Okay, I want to go blissful. I want to go uplifting. But before I can do any of that, I've got to take the system back to a kind of a baseline of healthy, happy normality. And an aspect of blissful that really kind of came through to me when I was contemplating the word, okay, well, what is blissful? Because again, we've all got totally different expectations around words. I'd kind of go back to, well, I'd probably feel most blissful if I'm lying on a beach. And my system is being actually flooded with negative ions in the air, and you have the very hypnotic sound of waves lapping on the beach. The smells are very potent in their own right. And like, it is, it's an amazing health practice just to go to the beach.
Plus the sun.
And plus the sun, of course, vitamin D. The blue sky, you're getting colour therapy. I mean, there's so many aspects to that. So getting to a place of calm was a starting point. Other herbs that are good for that, and florals are good for that. Oat straw is in there for that reason. Passion flower is a good mood elevating herb, but it is also calming and relaxing. Then in terms of, I should probably start at the beginning, which is, it's chocolate is its primary flavour.
Uh-huh.
This is this is the carrier, if you like, of all the other herbs in the drink and all the other ingredients in there. So chocolate, we all know and love. It's known for having a molecule called an anandamide, which is a nice scientific name, which means a joy thing. It's a, ananda is joy, and amide just means a thing that produces. So it's a it's a joyous thing, a joyous chemical that's in chocolate. And that's why a lot of us turn to it for a mood boost, for instance. It's also very versatile as a carrier. It works well with a lot of other flavours, as we're seeing on the shelves now, with chocolate bars of all sorts of weird and wonderful combinations. And I love it as well. So I was like, well, if I'm going to be drinking this thing for however many years, it's got to be something that I want to drink consistently. So chocolate for me was an easy starting point.
For most people.
For most people.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we all do.
So yeah, we got that to, as a beginning. And then I was going to really focus on the floral, because floral can be very heart-opening. Most flowers have that affinity for the heart space. And that's all about human connection. You start to bring energy. And when I'm talking about energy, I mean, that's an interesting thing, right? Everybody's definition of energy is different. But we could talk about blood flow going to that part of the body. And we can also talk about consciousness going to that part of the body. Most people who have been in a yoga session know how profound it is just to put their consciousness into the tip of the finger. And actually, that might seem a little bit...
Woo-woo,
yeah, or facile or trite to do that. But actually, being in the mind is actually locating the center of one's awareness in that part of the brain. And one can locate the center of one's awareness into another part of the body and have a very, very different experience. And so a lot of different mood altering or augmenting or shifting substances that you might find in the alternative health arena, you'll notice will actually direct consciousness to different parts of the body. So I'm going off on a bit of a tangent because I studied yoga. And
I know, but that's great. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I got my teacher certificate doing that and loved playing with pranayama and breath work. And a lot of that is about moving consciousness into different parts of the body. So the herbs will bring your blood flow there, but they'll also bring your awareness there. And ultimately, you look at it on a more of an energetic perspective, the amount of energy that you are holding, projecting from that part of the body expands. You know, we are an electromagnetic organism, without a shadow of a doubt. It's not only eels and various fish that that can project a lot of electricity. The human body is a bioelectric field.
Totally.
Like that is incontrovertible science, if you like. It's just that knowledge and awareness isn't really applied very much. So our electromagnetic field will expand in those areas, and therefore we will overlap more, and therefore we will feel each other more, and therefore we will match each other, we will experience each other, we will connect more. It's that simple. And so back to ingredients after that little segue. Florals, it's got rose. That was a real starting point, because rose is exquisite. It's very much about heart. It's an aphrodisiac. It's well known for its affinity with lovers for a good reason. Hibiscus is in there, another one for opening the heart. Also interesting because it's astringent. It kind of brought some alcohol-esque associations with it. And then, passion flower, as I mentioned, and also blue lotus, which is more actually for an expansive awareness. So that one's quite interesting, beloved by the Egyptians and used in bringing about in heightened states of awareness, used as an aphrodisiac, used to facilitate dream states. A really, really beautiful flower, and a very interesting energetic. How long have I got, Jodie? Because there's 40 ingredients.
keep going.
Wonderful.
Honestly.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Then back to grounding, I didn't really touch on that. I was talking about bringing us back to a nice foundational level of being, of relaxation, really. Grounding is also an incredibly important quality. Like, we are literally ungrounded. So to come back to the bioelectric perspective, as it were, we carry an electric charge, and that needs to return to Earth, all right? It's not just the three-pin plug that requires an Earth connection. Mm-hmm. It's not just your TV that uses or can utilize an Earth connection. The human body needs one as well. One reason why wild swimming is extremely beneficial, because you're grounded for the first time in who knows how long if you walk about in trainers on concrete. You know, you're not going to ground through a couple of inches of rubber and concrete. Those are well-known insulators. Now, obviously, drinking a drink doesn't change that quality, but it will change, again, the location of your consciousness. Okay, there's a bit of a step there in terms of comprehension, but it's not hard to imagine that different parts of the plant have a different effect on the human body. So roots are grounding when they are taken in the human body.
Uh-huh.
Mushrooms are very grounding when we imbibe them, because they are mycelia and they're a huge network of root. It's only at a certain point in the year that you actually see the flower, which is the edible part, come through. So there is a mushroom in there called lion's mane. It's very, it's both grounding, but interestingly, it's also very much a part of the kind of blissful and slightly euphoric quality that this brings through. And there's a lot of theory, philosophy I could share in that realm. Suffice to say that if we want to experience higher frequencies of emotion, we also have to be able to ground simultaneously. Otherwise, you're going up and out and you're not experiencing what's happening within the body. And this is a story I'm probably not going to cover in this talk, but I was very much motivated in putting bliss together by an experience where I recognized, which caused me to recognize how ungrounded I had been, exceptionally ungrounded. And that played out through a desire to escape the earth by flying off on a paraglider. So like, that was the perfect kind of outpicturing, shall we say, of being ungrounded. And I had a wake up call and recognized, well, actually, firstly, I need to be grounded rather than trying to escape. Like, that escapism wasn't serving me. And secondly, recognizing that if we want to feel anything, we've got to feel it through the body, right? We don't feel anything without having that connection to the body. So in this case, I was contemplating some pain that I was in, but also recognizing that the most blissful states were a result of that feedback within the body. It was it was a bodily experience to feel blissful, and if I'm not embodied, I can't feel that. So it was a necessity to really sort of be fully embodied. So root ingredients, there's lots of them, and a lot of them are really well known in herbalism. They're absolutely classic. So we've got ginseng, we've got ashwagandha, we've got maca, a number of other besides licorice, angelica. Now, these are all very fortifying, is maybe a very good word, very nourishing for the human body. So they have a lot of nutritional value apart from anything else. But then again, on an energetic sort of perspective, they're really sort of bringing us in and giving us that sort of solid core, as it were. And it's interesting to sort of contemplate how, when you're working with the plant world, the biology, the anatomy of a plant. So you've got your roots, and you have your flowers, and of course you also have your leaves, and they have a slightly different energetic and have a slightly different effect and bring through different notes, if you like, or frequencies. And I love to talk about an orchestra as being a nice analogy, because it's something that we can picture in our minds, and it's got many different instruments, many different frequencies, and it with an orchestra it's all about having those elements play harmoniously together.
I love that metaphor. Absolutely. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. It really guided me, actually, in terms of sort of choosing what to put in, but also the levels, like the intensity or the volume of the ingredients that went in. So I'll just name check some of the leaves that are in there. So ginkgo is very, very well known. There's a lot in there. There is, what other leaves? Will come back to me in just a moment. The 40.
I know, right?
Something slipped in the mind. I was just distracted, actually. I was thinking about cardamom, which I mean, it's a seed pod, so a different part of the plant again, but it's such a key part of the energetic of the drink. Like, there's a lot that goes in there. And it's surprising to me that it doesn't come through more as a flavour, given the quantity that's in there, but I know it comes through really strongly as an energetic. And it has a similar effect to vanilla. Like, we all love vanilla. It's the association, right? We love the taste, and it makes us feel the way it tastes, if you know what I mean. It's like, it's very reassuring. It's very comforting.
Yeah.
It's like a warm cuddle, you know? It's such a cozy, lovely flavour. Cardamom has that similar energetic to it. Vanilla's in there as well. Had to with vanilla. Because I love it. And one more that I'd really like to talk about a little bit, or name check, is star anise. I wasn't sure. I bought some and I was playing in the kitchen and I didn't put it in. I couldn't quite imagine it in the mix. It wasn't quite where I wanted to go with the flavour profile of this, because I had sort of created this destination in mind around it being blissful and uplifting and having associations with some of my favourite chocolate bars. And star anise and chocolate aren't sort of typically together, but I bought this and I was just curious, and it was only when I was working with a friend of mine playing, let's face it, it was more play than work to bring through this recipe, that we kind of recognized, stumbled across this very alchemical affinity that star anise and the lion's mane mushroom have. Like, there's something interesting. I can't give you any more of a scientific explanation than that. But something happens when these are cooked up together for a long period of time. And to shortcut that, I put it in a pressure cooker. So they're cooked up at 130 degrees. So obviously much higher temperature than you get for a normal sort of steeping decoction process, to really get that alchemical mixing happening, and that brings through this kind of quite joyful, uplifting experience that can come through with the drink as well. So star anise tends to be quite noticeable for people's taste buds, and has a slightly licoricey association. I mean, I do enjoy the pernos and the interesting flavours in the alcohol world. It's here less for that flavour and more because of what it really brings through. Although I also want a spicy aspect to the drink, you know. For anyone who's been to a cacao ceremony, like using the cayenne, putting the cayenne there to potentiate the other ingredients in the cacao, is that's the way the Mayans did it, and it still happens. I like that giving it some punch and giving it that kind of alcohol occasion taste and feeling and flavour, so that it kind of really lingers in the mouth and really makes you pause to get the whole journey, you know. It carries on, it's lasting, and Star Anise does that a little bit as well.
Yeah, I have to say that I do love the taste of bliss. And
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a delicious blend of flavours. And very content with it. Yeah.
Thank you. It seems to have been quite a relaxant for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was quite surprised at how well it came together. Yeah, I was not sure that I had the background really to do this. I've not been a mixologist or a chef, and the idea of being able to take that quantity of ingredients and have the flavors play harmoniously together, I was like, well, you know, what do I know? But
you clearly do, because you've come, you know, with this incredible
it's been
drink.
Thank you. It's been a real discovery, and I kind of recognise that being able to approach it from many different angles really helps, through looking through lots of different lenses and lots of different life experience and modalities that I've learned along the way has allowed me to come up with something unique, right? It is new. I've set out to reimagine alcohol, and not many people, I think, have done so. I don't think anyone's done it in the way that I've done it, and I don't know of anything that's similar in its effect or the comprehensive approach that's been taken. Like, because I've used modalities here that are very unfamiliar. So we've been talking about the herbs a lot, but there's some more even esoteric modalities that are used in just working with the water alone, mm-hmm. before it's even introduced to any of the herbs. There's some use of energizing the water that are really quite unique, quite novel, and all of that experience has gone into the mix and allowed me to create something that harmonious is the best word. That's the best word I can use to describe it. And that was really pleasing, really, really pleasing to have brought that through. Mm. So that kind of reimagining, re-engineering process, that really kind of guided the direction that I was taking, the trajectory and the actual sort of destination. Had a really clear destination of, okay, this is going to be blissful and uplifting.
Mm.
Don't have a route map. I don't know how to get from here I am in the kitchen with a box full of ingredients to a drink that is blissful and uplifting. But that's where I'm going. And that intention really kind of drove the project and drove me forward as well. And allowed it to be.
Yeah, just because I wanted to touch on, because you kind of, this all came together, the beginning of the year, right, in the early spring, is that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just wanted to kind of let us know a little bit about that side of things?
Okay, the creation story. Well, yeah, I did write a little bit about this on the website, and it's quite unusual, that is for sure. I had been working with a company for a little while in bringing a alcohol-free spirit drink to market. So that's where I kind of learned my craft, uh-huh. to some degree. And I was very content in the role that I had with that company. And it was more of a thinking about the messaging and the marketing and the sales aspect. What kind of precipitated bringing through this particular product, and I've always known that, like, I needed to bring through a lot more of my own experience, shall we say. But what really precipitated that was what I can call my Icarus moment, and which is when I was out paragliding at the start of the season this year, getting myself set for 6 months of excitement, flying about at cloud base and exploring the skies above the United Kingdom. Yeah, my goal for the year was to fly 200 kilometres for the first time. Right. I even set up a little group called Breaking 200. And ironically enough, right at the start of the season, I had an accident which involved me not breaking 200 kilometres, but breaking a number of bones. And which gave me pause to think and reconsider what I was doing with various aspects of my life. And it gave me, quite a lot of a shift came through as a result of that. I think I mentioned thinking about escapism and the need to chase excitement, of which flying is all about that for me. Like I've had a fear of heights my entire life, so I take up paragliding. You know, that's not many people would do that. I think you call it aversion therapy. So there's an element of working through one's fears, but also it's a little bit extreme. And so I was thinking about being embodied as well, because I was grounded and very much in my own body and experiencing quite a lot of pain in my own body. And all of my go-to crutches for getting through life and keeping a good mood going, like going to the gym or going cycling or going for a run or going flying, even going for a walk, were suddenly taken away from me. I had nothing to fall back on. I had a lot of time to be with my own thoughts and be with my own body. So it was a very embodying experience. And what I realized was that all of the crutches that I had were, or certainly some of them, weren't really serving me, and that I needed to find a different way and a better way to navigate this crazy experience we're having in our modern day, quote unquote, civilized society, which is quite uncivilized in terms of its dislocation, dissociation from nature, and very natural, normal, healthy, nurturing patterns of behavior. Actually, there's a lot of discordance and a lot of behavior that does not serve us, just absolutely. In normal life, let alone, let alone, you know, tracing adrenaline. And so this really made me sit back and think about what I wanted to do with my life, what I wanted to achieve, how I wanted to be, and how I wanted to manage my own emotions, my own moods, my own experience of being embodied, and what I wanted my legacy to the world to be. And so that my Icarus moment literally led to a change in direction and the birth of this desire to create something that's blissful, that I can have as a drink rather than need to drive around the country and fly around the countryside to reach. Like ultimately, I was just looking for peace and having a kind of normalized dopamine level and having an anxiety level that was healthy.
Yeah, well, in
shall
a,
we say?
Yeah, in a funny sort of way, you are now helping others to fly.
Well, yeah, you can certainly say that.
You know,
yeah.
Outside of the realms of, you know, the habitual, you know, addictive behaviors and patterns and drinking and whatever else people get up to, you know, this is a new opportunity. This is a new option for people.
Yeah. Thank you.
Another way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, certainly. That's beautifully put. That is beautifully put. And that kind of leads me to the experience that I had with plant medicines as well. When I sort of say I didn't know I knew to do this, and I kind of think, well, where did this knowledge information come from? I can hand on heart say the plants were my teachers, and it was through journeying with plant medicines that I cultivated the intuition, you know, the ability to feel subtle energies, to recognize them and to work with them in a way that a conductor works with musical notes. Everything is frequency, including the frequencies that we take in through our food. And so it was journeying through plant medicines, shamanic journeying through plant medicines, that gave me that awareness and capability. But that was also part of my motivation, because I've had experiences through those journeys that I feel very privileged to have experienced. They are very powerful. They've been very powerful for me, been very healing for me. And also they're not going to be necessarily something that most people will experience in this life or choose to experience. And so there's a lot of the information, a lot of the benefit of those journeys that I wanted to make more accessible. And so working with the more subtle plants, shall we say, was one way of kind of taking all of that experience and presenting it in a format that's digestible and enjoyable social experience, really. It kind of has, for me, completed that journey, certainly for the time being.
So, wow, yeah, thank you. And, well, what state is Bliss at now?
Okay, so Bliss is now, it's out there, it's launched. You can buy it online, I have to say that. Thespiritofbliss.com.
Great.
The drink is available to buy there by the bottle. And
I'll put that in the show description, the show notes.
Thank you so much for that. And I'm just hugely excited to be able to say that, because it's only been up online for a couple of weeks.
Great.
And the next phase will be taking it out there through more mainstream outlets, so out to bars and clubs, festivals, and developing a network of on-trade accounts where you can go out and drink it in a bar, like an alcoholic drink. Like, really excited to blur that boundary between alcohol and non-alcohol, alcoholic and alcohol-free. That for me is kind of like the intersection point. That's a really fun play space. So bars are going to be really key to having it experienced in this way. But I think initially it's going to be much more quickly adopted for dinner parties or private gatherings. I have to put this in. It's a great drink for a couple to experience and play with. I did mention there's a few aphrodisiacs in there. So that's a good reason to be drinking it. So the project's launched and looking to expand it. Mm-hmm. It is in this space, to make a big impact and impression on the market. Certainly if you want to do it in any sort of reasonable time frame, you need some backing. So I'm talking to investors to assist with getting the message out there effectively. Kind Wild, then it will be going out through the wonders of the World Wide Web and finding all sorts of, hopefully, assuredly blissful drinkers that way. And you can read a little bit more about the ingredients and my experience in putting it together online as well. And I think there'll be some more information coming out like this with videos, etc., because I obviously love talking about it. It is available to buy.
Fabulous. Yeah, so just go to
thespiritofbliss.com.
Great.
You got it.
Fabulous. So listeners can rush there and grab their bottles before supplies run
obviously
out.
Obviously, I'm hoping, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely encourage you to do that. Try it. Get one for a friend. Makes a great Christmas present.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone loves chocolate.
Everyone loves chocolate. They do. That's right. And what a wonderful thing also to just give people, you know, a new option for, you know, experience. Playful.
Yeah.
Mood enhanced experience. Mm. I mean, can't get much better than that, really. Just something you can drink and hello, you know.
There you go. Exactly.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much, Dickon, for, you know, unwrapping bliss for us and your journey and your story and everything. And I look forward to talking to you again at some point, you know, and seeing, you know, where you are in the journey and where bliss is, you know, in time to come.
Awesome. Yeah, me too. There's so much more we can talk about.
So yeah, there is. There's so much. We just touched on things today. So, yeah, hopefully we can dive deeper next time. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah.
Been a real joy.
Take care. Thank you so much. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. If you're a listener, don't be a lurker. Be a subscriber. engage and get involved. And yes, you know, comment and share it on your social media. How about that? That would be amazing. Yeah, share the love. You know, sharing is caring. Now, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, I do have a little favor to ask, and that is if you could please review and rate the podcast. It does help with the algorithm in Apple to show it to more people. I also think you could get a lot out of following me on Instagram. It's Flowing Ninja. That's the username for the account, which is for the podcast Flow Ninja and coaching and mentoring. And yes, the other thing that you may be interested in is my free downloadable PDF, Top 10 Secrets to Hacking Your Flow, Stepping Into Your Power and Thriving at Life. And you can get that at go.flowninja.co. That's go.flowninja.co. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. Please do subscribe if you haven't already. We are now available on Apple Podcasts as well as all other good podcasting platforms. Also, I forgot to mention another great reason for downloading the PDF is that you get to be on my email list, the Flow Ninja email list, so you get all the latest updates regarding new podcast editions, episodes, and YouTube videos I'm putting out there, as well as my news and views on life and everything. So please do subscribe. You may or may not be aware that I also have a YouTube channel for Flow Ninja, and you are very welcome to subscribe. And these videos are a bit different to the podcast, but equally fascinating. That's just Flow Ninja on YouTube. The link should be in the description of the podcast. It's a fledgling channel, so I don't have one of these vanity URLs. So it's just a jumble of letters after youtube.com. The format's a little bit different to the podcast. I'm making videos about my insights into reality, life, human nature, psychology, that kind of thing. And yeah, I invite you to subscribe, like the videos if they resonate, and comment your thoughts and feedback. That would be wonderful. So, thanks again for listening to this podcast, and see you in the next episode. And the link is patreon.com/flowninja. Simple as that. Thank you so much. Hey guys, so please support this podcast and my YouTube by donating on Patreon. Every little help, big and small, is a massive support for me to continue making videos and, yeah, get the word out there, get my story and my message out there. So I much appreciate any help you can give. The link for my Patreon is in the show notes. So I look forward to making more stuff, more content for you. Thank you.